Part 1. The Mystery School. Chapter 1. It was a morning without sunrise, frigid and overcast, during the weeks leading up to Christmas. Mare was just heading out to work when her cell phone jingled. Her mother was calling. Sister Margaret Thomas just died. Who? The question came out as a garbled mumble. Mare was washing down the last bite of a raspberry Pop-Tart with the dregs of her instant coffee, the last few crystals left dark smears at the bottom of the cup. Her mother replied impatiently, "Your Aunt Meg, the nun. I'm very upset." There was silence on the line for a moment. Mare's aunt had been out of the picture for a long time. "Mare, are you there?" Not waiting for an answer, her mother went on. "The convent won't tell me how she died. They just said she's gone. Gone. Meg was barely 50. I need you to go out there for me." "Why can't you go?" Mare resented her mother for various reasons. One was the fact that she never ran out of demands, most of them trivial and meaningless. Making a demand was like tugging an invisible apron string. The voice on the phone turned wheedling. "You know I'm afraid of nuns." "Meg was your sister." "Don't be silly. It's the other nuns I'm afraid of. They're like scary penguins. Sign something so they can release the body. We're all she has. Had." Her mother started crying softly. "Bring my dear sister home. Can you do that?" Because no one had spoken of Aunt Meg in years, "dear sister" sounded a little insincere, but the job Mare was heading for was temp work, easy to call in sick for. "I'll do what I can," she said. Soon she was driving west on the turnpike, half listening to a James Taylor album that came out 20 years ago, about the time her rattling Honda Civic was born. The Great Recession had stalled a career that Mare hadn't actually chosen yet. Like others in her generation, she was drifting, worrying from month to month that she might have to move back in with her parents. That would mean choosing between them. Her mother stayed in the old house after the divorce. Her father relocated to Pittsburgh with his new wife and remembered to call on Christmas and birthdays, usually. She glanced at herself in the rear-view mirror, noticing a scarlet smudge where she'd been careless with her lipstick. Why did she think nuns would want her to wear makeup? Before she ran off to the convent, Aunt Meg used to wear the most stunning shade of lipstick, a dark burgundy red. It contrasted with her pale Irish skin like a drop of wine on a linen tablecloth. There was no question Meg was a looker. She had high cheekbones and that elegant McGeary nose, their proudest feature. She hadn't turned into an old maid for any particular reason. Meg liked the term old maid because it was so outdated and politically incorrect. Men had vaguely drifted in and out of her life. "I've had my chances, don't you worry," she said tartly. She even frequented singles bars in the day. Nasty places, Meg said, soul-killing. Nobody remembered her as being especially religious, so it had come as a surprise and not the pleasant kind when Aunt Meg suddenly announced, at the ripe age of 40, that she was becoming a nun. She had had enough of a family role as the oldest unmarried sister, being on call to babysit, expected to shop, and tend house whenever somebody fell sick, listening to nieces gossiping about their boyfriends before suddenly drawing up short and saying with embarrassment, "I'm sorry, Aunt Meg, we can talk about something else." It made the family feel guilty when she announced that she had asked to train as a novice. There was a nagging sense of what did we do wrong. Mare's grandmother had died of stomach cancer 2 years before. If her grandmother had ever held strong religious convictions, months of excruciating pain wiped them away. She didn't ask for Father Riley at the end, but she didn't resist when he showed up at her sick room. Doped up on morphine, she was barely aware of the wafer and the wine as he lifted her head off the pillow for the Eucharist. Nobody knew whether to be glad that Gran hadn't lived to see the day a McGeary girl took the veil. Mayor's grandfather was adrift in lonely grief after his wife died, retreating into his house and keeping the lights off well past sunset. He mowed the front lawn every Saturday, but the weeds in the backyard grew rank and tall, like accursed woods guarding a castle of sorrows. When Meg knocked at the door and told him she was entering the convent, he became more animated than he had been in months. "Don't give yourself away. You're still good-looking, Meg. Lots of men would be proud to have you." "Don't be such a fool," Meg retorted, blushing. She kissed him on the top of the head, "but thank you."